and I love Billy, but I don't like sitting in that chair. When I played basketball back in the day, it's been a long time, I did not like sitting on the bench. I like to be on the field. I like to be on the court. I like to be in the game. And so I thought even though it's a missions convention and we've been teaching generosity in our generosity series the last few weeks, I mean, that was spot on for missions and generosity and the whole nine yards. So today I'm going to wrap up our generosity series, and then, like I told you, we'll move on. We've learned, though, the last few weeks that generosity or the lack thereof is a matter of the heart. We talked about that. And there's a lot of things. Sometimes we have to deal with a selfish heart or a grievous heart. And we must develop a generous heart and a grateful heart. I've never seen or met anybody that's grateful that wasn't generous. You want to be generous when you're grateful. So we talked about all those things and talked about how Jesus can change the heart and that giving really never has been about the money or the resources or any of that. It's when we give, Jesus reveals himself to givers and about the revelation of Christ. And we learned right before Billy came that we can test him. And when we test him, he shows himself true. He's faithful, isn't he? He is faithful. I heard a story, and this really is a true story, so don't laugh. It was on Pentecost Sunday about a year ago in one of the pastors, my pastoral friend's church. And for Pentecost Sunday, they give the ladies three or four carnations. They give them a bouquet of flowers to celebrate the move of the Holy Spirit. That's what Pentecost Sunday was all about. And so he's preaching the story. He's preaching Acts chapter 2. He's preaching Pentecost. He talked about how a powerful wind from heaven swept in the room. What would we do if that happened today? If the wind began to stir in here. And then he went on to talk about like tongues of fire lit on their heads. Acts chapter 2, 1 through 4 talks about that. And the preacher got revved up and he said, the power of the Lord is in this place. God is in this place like a powerful wind from heaven. And when he said that, that lady was sitting on the front row right about where Linda was, and she took one of those flowers and she threw it to the stage. And he keeps preaching, thinking, what in the world is all this about? But he thought maybe she was enjoying the message. And he gets all fired up again. He said, and let me tell you what, the Spirit of the Lord did come in this house during worship. Jesus is here. The Holy Spirit's here this morning. God is here to save, heal, deliver, and set free. God is here to touch your life. I mean, he's tangible. He's real. He's not a storybook, and he's not dead. And whatever your needs are this morning, he can touch you in a moment, and you'll leave here different. And he's preaching it, just like I'm preaching it. And he said, the Spirit of the Lord is on us. And that sister on the front row said, like tongues of fire. And she threw another carnation to the stage. And I mean, he's getting wound up. And he said, now, sister, now, brothers, throw your pocketbooks and your wallets. Especially you, lady, throw your pocketbook to the stage. She said, preacher, you've just calmed the wind and the fire. We don't want to be that way, do we? Whoa, almost went. Darla and Linda always wonder what day it's going to be when I finally fall off this stage. You're very generous. You know, we could receive, I tell you what we could do. Ladies, you get in your pocketbooks, and men, you get your wallets and hand it to your neighbor next to you. And then I would challenge you just to give all you want to give. And we have places to swipe your debit cards in the back. Today, we've been speaking about generosity all the way through, but we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about tithing. And let's talk about a few things about tithing. One, number one, tithing is biblical. Let's read in Malachi 3. I, the Lord, do not change. Later in the New Testament scripture, it says that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Aren't you glad he doesn't change? So you, the descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. That's his grace. Ever since the time of your ancestors, you've turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return? Will a mere mortal rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how are we robbing you? In tithes and offerings, the Lord said. You are under curse, your whole nation, because you're robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing there will not be enough room to store it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your field will not drop their fruit before it is ripe, says the Lord Almighty. Then all nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. Tithing is biblical. And we're going to see in a short message that it's biblical from the beginning to the end. Some people don't believe this. Some people struggle with this. I understand that. But tithing is biblical. In Genesis 14, 18, Abraham gave a tenth, a tithe, at the top of the heap 500 years before the law instituted the tithe. In Genesis 28 and 22, Jacob gave a tenth way before the law was ever written. Some people said tithing was about the law, and I just have to insert, tithing is about the law. We don't live under the law anymore, although the word said Jesus came to fulfill the law. But I don't even try to argue with that. I believe the Bible's true all the way through. But I don't even go there. I said, well, if you want to talk New Testament generosity, if you look up all the scriptures, are far above the tithe. And those that don't want to understand kind of get quiet. It was from beginning to end, from Genesis. Leviticus 27:30, during the law, it taught us that the tithe was holy and set apart to God. And that's why Malachi, and it seems strange, and I'm not going to dwell there today, that's why Malachi said you are robbing God. Because the top of the heap or the first fruits or the 10% belongs to the Lord. I saw something I'd never seen in all the 30 plus years I've been preaching. This Bible's header talks about breaking covenant by withholding tithes. Never saw that before. I'm not going to talk about it, but I thought it was interesting. Tithing is biblical. Generosity is biblical. God has been generous with us. He sent His one and only Son to die at Calvary to pay the price for my sins so that I can spend eternal life with Him. And there's no other way to heaven except through Christ Jesus. There's no other way. He is the way and the truth and the life. The Bible says that nobody comes to the Father except through Jesus Christ. God's been generous. He didn't have to be generous. Why did He send Jesus? Why did He send Jesus? Number one, I was a sinner. Number two, I didn't have the solution for sin. Because I couldn't help myself. I couldn't get myself to heaven. I couldn't get free from my bondage on earth. I couldn't be good enough. Thank God I couldn't be bad enough. God sent His Son, Jesus, to die at Calvary and pay a price for our sins. Ooh, that's generosity. That's generosity. To give His Son so that we could have life. Jesus talked about tithing in Matthew 23:23. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter, and this, without neglecting the former. You blind guides, you strain out a gnat, but swallow a camel. Woe to you, teachers of the law, you hypocrites. You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of greed. And my Bible says self-indulgence. So we don't neglect justice and mercy and love and faithfulness, but we do keep practicing tithing. Jesus said it. It's in the red letters. Well, I mean, if Jesus said something, do you want to do it? I'm not going to make it complicated. If Jesus says it, do you want to do it? Yes. Well, he said it there. If Jesus says, love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, do you want to do it? If Jesus says, love others as ourself, do you want to do it? If Jesus says, go into all the world, is that something you would like to do? If Jesus said, and bring them in and make disciples, baptizing them in the name and Father and Son and Holy Ghost, is that something you want to do? And as the Spirit of God in that still, quiet voice speaks to our inner person and our inner being, and He presses upon us to do something, is do you want to follow Jesus? That's the question about tithing and generosity. Do you want to follow Jesus in this area of your life or not? But if Jesus said it, it's not rocket science. If Jesus said it, I believe it. No problems, no worries. I'll do it and give glory to Him and be free and free indeed. Because God's ways work. What about when money's tight? The tighter the money, the more important the tithe. And I'll tell you what, we've had tight times, very tight times, very difficult times, where we could have set aside the tithe for a week or a month or 6 weeks or 3 months. But you know what? That has been the worst decision I'd ever made in my life as a Christian man. I could say, well, money's going to be tight for 90 days, Lord. I'll come back and start back being generous and tither in 3 months. You know what I'm telling God? I'm going to depend on me to run my life for the next 90 days. My heart's always been, my Lord, I guarantee you, dear Jesus, I love you. You're going to get yours first, even if I can't pay the bills. But I never had a problem paying the bills. I've been down to a can of beans and an empty refrigerator. But I never went hungry. Because it's a matter of who you trust and who you follow. I'm glad Jesus saved us, aren't you? The one who saved me said it. Somebody said, well, that's the only time he said it. He doesn't have to say it but once. The one who saved me said it, and that's enough for me. And there's a joy in it. And if we're going to believe for greater things in our personal lives and in our mission as a church and the ripple effect we're having around the world, we're going to have to give for greater things. Hebrews 7, 1 and 11. I'm not going to move on yet. This Melchizedek was king of Salem and priest of God the Most High. This was when we read about Abraham in the book of Genesis that I mentioned early. And Abraham had won a mighty battle. He met Abraham returning from the defeat of the kings and blessed him. And Abraham gave him a tenth of everything. We do not give to get blessed. We give because we're already blessed. Mentally, emotionally, spiritually. It's that gracious concept we talked about earlier. Did you realize the first time I taught on this 4 weeks ago, I never mentioned tithe? I never said the word once. Because being generous is always about the heart. First, the name Melchizedek means, look what Melchizedek means, king of righteousness. And then also king of Salem, that's king of peace. Means king of peace. Without father or mother, he didn't have a mom or dad. Without genealogy, no genealogy. Without beginning of days or end of life, no beginning of days, no end of life. Resembling the Son of God, he remains a priest forever. Just think how great he was. Even the patriarch Abraham gave a tenth of the plunder. Now the law requires the descendants of Levi who become priests to collect a tenth from the people. That is from their fellow Israelites, even though they also are descended from Abraham. Okay, that's what these guys did today. They received an offering. This man, speaking of Melchizedek, however, did not trace his descent from Levi. Had nothing to do with the law. Yet he collected a tenth from Abraham and blessed him who had the promises. And without doubt, the lesser is blessed. He was greater than Abraham. In the one case, the tenth is collected by the people who die. That's our honor team and our ushers. They collected it this morning. But in the other case, it is collected by him who is declared to be living. And I'm going to stop there. Melchizedek, some believe, is an Old Testament type of Christ. Other people believe that it was actually, because Christ was in the beginning, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit were all there together in the beginning. Many believe it wasn't just a type of Christ, but it was Christ himself manifesting early. And they've got a good argument, and I lean that way myself. Even in John 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was Jesus. And you can see that over and over. There is no other king of righteousness but Jesus. Because the Bible says there's none righteous, not one. So that's why I think it was Christ. At a minimum, it's a type, but I believe it was King of Peace. There is no other King of Peace but Jesus Christ. There isn't one. No, Jesus, the Bible says in the Revelation that he's the Alpha and the Omega. That means no beginning and no end. If any of you have no beginning and no end, it's not humanly possible. The only one that describes this Melchizedek is Jesus Christ. On the one hand, we collect every Sunday, sometimes on Wednesdays, sometimes in women. By the way, the ladies had a spirit-filled off-the-charts women meeting yesterday, and lives were changed. Oh, by the way, the men have started their small groups, and they're filling up. You better hop on. Talked a lot about kids. Jesus is the only one that fits that description. On the one hand, men collect money. Look, who did receive the offering today? Let me see your hands. The ushers are, let's see who we got. Raise your hands high where we can see. One, two, three. They received the offering, and you're going to die and leave this earth. But you collected it today for the glory of the Lord. But what this verse says in Hebrews, this isn't the guys I'm giving to. Paul, sorry, no new golf clubs. Somebody anoint that man with oil and pray. He's manifesting. I'm just teasing. So I put my tithe and my missions gifts and other gifts in the offering basket, and the men who collect it die. But really the one I give it to is the one that lives forever. And his name is Jesus. When I get up early on a Sunday morning and write that check, I say, God, I can't wait to get there to give to the Savior that lives forever, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. I can't wait to get there to give to Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. I can't wait to get there to give to Jesus, the King of Righteousness, who took my filthy rags. Because in my sin, and the Scripture's right when it said our righteousness is filthy rags. It is like filthy rags. But a Savior who died for me said, here, I'll take your rags and you can put on my robe of righteousness, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the King of Righteousness, Jesus Christ. And because he lives, the old hymn says, I can face tomorrow in good times and bad and upsides and down and through the valley and on the mountain when there's not a nickel in the bank account and when it's flush with money. It doesn't matter what you've got when you tithe. You're giving to Jesus and he's alive and he's risen and he saved you and he's changed you and he's freed you and he's delivered you and he's provided for you. Why not give a little bit back to the King of Peace, Jesus Christ? It belongs to him anyway. Everything belongs to the Lord. That was New Testament generosity. If God wanted their car, he got the car. Well, donkey. Well, horse. I don't know. They wanted your house. They sold their house. He was wounded for me. He was wounded for my transgressions. He was crushed by my iniquities. By his stripes, I am healed. The one who died for me lives. And he takes my tithe which belongs to Him anyway. And it not only do I get a revelation of who Christ is, it benefits the storehouse and those in the mission field, the storehouse church men and women are trying to reach for the glory of God. I think you ought to give the Lord a hand. Not only is it biblical, it's beneficial. 2 Chronicles 31:2. Now Hezekiah, thank God for Hezekiah in the Bible, because Israel had went south in a lot of ways. And Hezekiah comes along, and leave it up there, Stephen. He come along, he purified the temple. The temple had been filled with idols. They had quit celebrating Passover. What does that mean? They had quit celebrating the death and resurrection of Christ. The Passover was really a celebration of those that left Egypt, who God delivered out of Egypt. It's also a type of what we call Easter, just to help us understand in a simple way. He reinstituted celebrating the Passover and the grace of Christ. And then in this chapter, after cleansing the temple and making Christ the center, he talks about contributions and provision. He restored worship in every way. Let's read in 31 verse 2. I know we're reading a lot of scripture today. I hope you don't mind. Hezekiah assigned the priests and Levites two divisions, each of them according to their duties as priests or Levites, to offer burnt offerings and fellowship offerings, to minister, to give thanks, and to sing praises at the gates of the Lord's dwelling. Whew. The king contributed from his own possessions for the morning and evening burnt offerings and for the burnt offerings on the Sabbath, at the new moons, at the appointed festivals, as written in the law of the Lord. He ordered the people living in Jerusalem to give the portion due the priests and Levites so they could devote themselves to the Lord, law of the Lord. Verse 5. As soon as the order went out, the Israelites generously gave the first fruits of their grain, new wine, oil, olive oil, and honey, and all that the fields produced. They brought a great amount, a tithe of everything. And it gets better. The people of Israel and Judah who lived in the towns of Judah also brought a tithe of their herds, flocks, and a tithe of the holy things dedicated to the Lord their God, and they piled them in heaps. Now, knowing we're going to read this, well, let me hold. I get so excited. They begin doing this in the third month and finished in the seventh month. When Hezekiah and his officials came and saw the heaps, they praised the Lord and blessed his people in Israel. Hezekiah asked the priests and Levites about the heaps. So watch this. Stay with me now. Now, I do want to read that, Stephen, that last bit, because watch this. And Azariah, the chief priest from the family of Zadok, answered, since, not before, since the people begin to bring their contributions to the temple of the Lord, we've had plenty to eat and plenty to spare because the Lord has blessed his people. When you're generous, I give you my word. You'll always have plenty to eat and some to spare. Because the Lord has blessed his people and this great amount is left over, Hezekiah gave orders to prepare the storerooms in the temple of the Lord, and this was done. Let's talk. See, Hezekiah, before Malachi wrote, realized even though worship had been restored and idols were gone and Christ had been magnified, that they were still under a curse. That's what Malachi was talking about. Now, we learned 3 weeks ago God didn't curse them. We curse ourselves because we reap what we sow or don't sow. We learned that. So the priest, he said, bring it to the priest, bring it to God's house, that there might be food in my house. That's the Rock Church. So that there will be food here. So that we can take care of the babies. So that we can take care of the nursery. So that we can take care of the children. So that we can invest in the teenagers. So that we can invest in men's and women's ministry. So that we can invest in what the worship team's doing. So that we can invest in the building. So that we can invest in the mission of winning the lost in our city. tithing is a storehouse. And the Rock Church has been called to fulfill the Great Commission here. We've sent over $35,000, can you say praise the Lord, one time? And most of that money, probably because we support some U.S. missionaries on some reservations and other places, but we support 32 missionaries. That's going around the world. And it was a heap. That it was one of the most touching moments, top five touching moments in 23 years. And we gave. And it was in a heap. And it came from your heart. Because in that moment last Sunday, we had the heart of God. And the heart of God is to win the lost through Christ. And that's what the tithe does here. All that money is going out there. Not one nickel will pay one thing here. Not one. Best place to give is the local church, because most of it goes for the glory of God. A lot of your nonprofits, there are some great ones out there, but a lot of their stuff, about 92% of it's administration fees, and 8% makes it to the field. I think in the assembly, 75 or 80% of the money makes it to the field, because it takes money to administrate money. Over 35,000. Billy said something I couldn't shake. He said something to this effect. We're not in it for the money, but without the money, we're not in it. I couldn't shake it. Two or three mornings in prayer, that phrase was stuck. We're not in it for the money, but without the money, we're not in it. And this is just me. I could hear Jesus saying it. Yeah, without the money, it's not about the money. But without faithful givers, your church, our church, will never be in it. I can hear Jesus say it. Do you enjoy the food you receive at the Rock Church? Don't be bashful. Do you enjoy the ministries of the Rock? Weddings, baby dedications. I love weddings and baby dedications. But funerals. Again, what God's doing with all our men, women, children. Somebody's paying for that benefit. And it's those who are faithful to tithe. There is no way for a local congregation to survive without faithful tithers. It will not ever happen. It will not happen. Tithing is beneficial. Well, preacher, I'm not getting fed here and I'm not getting what I need. Maybe you're not tithing. I tell you, when you're generous, you'll get what you need from the Lord. 100% of the time. And we talked to three lessons, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually in every way. How many like to eat at a good restaurant? I love eating at a good restaurant, and the better the filet, the better I like it. All of y'all know I'm a meatitarian. And red meat is at the top of the list. But fillets, ribeyes, T-bones, prime rib, New York, sirloin, round, if I have to go round, long as it's a piece of meat. Would you go to a restaurant and skip out and pay it on a bill? Hey, would you? That's what you do here when you don't tithe. You eat at others' generous people's benefit. They're buying the meal for you. Tithers always say, I'm so blessed. I've never heard a generous person not say they're blessed. I've never heard it once in over 30 years of ministry. I've heard a lot of non-tithers make a lot of excuses, but this is what, I can't afford to tithe. And I think to myself, and I'm going to be sarcastic, you're so blessed, you can't afford to tithe. Did anybody get that but me? How blessed is that? That's not very blessed. I want to be so blessed that I can tithe, give to missions, buy a hot dog for Royal Rangers, invest in a car wash for the youth group, and why give them a 10? Why not give them a 50 or a 100? It's not about the hot dog or the car wash. It's about investing in the storehouse here so that we can win the lost here, so that the lost can see Jesus in our town, so that our families will come into the kingdom of God, so that our aunts and uncles, I believe when you give generous, God shows up all over the place on behalf of your family. I believe it because I know it in my heart of hearts. I wouldn't lie to you guys. We're learning in Financial Peace University that stewardship is about making adjustments in our life sometimes to be faithful to God. We're learning those things. Jesus has to be the first. Jesus has to be first. He must be in control. And that was Hezekiah's concern. And when they begin to give, it not only met the need in their community, but there were heaps left over. There was so much blessing, they did not know what to do. There was a guy that took his son to church they wanted to visit, and they'd been going. They went about 6 or 7 weeks, and every Sunday, the young boy, he's about 8 or 9, would watch his dad, and he put a dollar in the offering plate. And this went on for 6 or 8 weeks. And finally, and me and his dad would complain on the way home every time about church. Oh, the sermon, that preacher, he talked about tithing. If you're a guest, we don't talk about money all the time, but we do take 3 or 4 weeks out of the year to really focus on stewardship because we believe it's critical, because the Bible teaches it. So he's complaining about the message and the message too long, and then he said, those announcements on the screen, I can't keep up with them, and very soon we're going to have a hard copy again with the screen where you can put it on your refrigerator and remember what. You know, sometimes I see the screen, I can't tell you even what I read one time. But he's complaining about the announcements, like, I mean, just everything. Building's hot and people were unfriendly. And he, that 6th or 7th Sunday on the way home, he's going on and on and on and on and on. And the son finally looks at him and said, Dad, you've got to admit it wasn't a bad show for a dollar. You get what you pay for. Well, y'all don't believe that. Some of the walls and barriers in your inability to receive from the Lord is because your heart's like that. You can hear a message like this and get 10% of it because your heart's like that. When you let your heart do that, there'll be piles of blessing. And again, it's not about the money. The money will come. The provision will be there. There'll be so much piles of blessing come your way. Peace, joy, patience, kindness, perseverance, open doors that you didn't expect, closed doors that you needed. When you get your heart like that, God can begin to do things in your life. And that's what generosity or the lack thereof is all about. It's a matter of the heart. You can argue about it. You can teach something else about it. I don't care. Tithing is the way, lastly, Jesus takes care of his church. I need some volunteers. Come on, Josh. You led us well today. Bethany, wherever you are, you did a great job. Oh, you are brave men. Come on up here. If we had a bigger stage, though, you know what I'm saying? I need one more man. Hey, let's give these three men a hand. Y'all want to go have a steak this week?
Yes.
Yeah. They spoke in three-part harmony. Yes, 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 yes. All right, now I need one lady that's really brave. I'm teasing. Well. Now you stand right over here. You right there? Now, Linda's one of the bravest people I know. She could body slam all three of these guys in a heartbeat. Don't mess with Linda. You're laughing because you know it's true. This is her husband, in case y'all don't know. You know why he's got hearing aids? Wa-boom, wa-boom, wa-boom. What? Did you see him walk up here? Ba-boom, ba-boom. All right, let's see if I can get this right. I'm going to pretend like I'm Jesus. Let me qualify this statement. I am far from being like Jesus. I got a long way to go. With his grace, I'm trying to be as much like him as I possibly can. But I need his grace every day, and I'm still a work in progress. Can I get an amen? But I'm going to pretend like I'm... Now, I'm going away. Jesus said in John 16 that he was going to go away and going to send a counselor. He's going to go and be with the Father at the right hand of the Father. So I'm going away. You are the church. In many places in the Bible, the church is called the bride of Christ. Don't take this personal, David. I'm going away. I'm leaving my bride. Maybe I should use Darla for this illustration. No. Now, but while I'm away, I'm going to give you 10 grand. I'm going to give you 10 grand. I'm going to give you 10 grand. All I ask of you three, and I'll tell you, there's 10 grand coming every month. You remember the first Sunday? We're tested every week when we get our paycheck, who's first in our life. Oh. Are you going to get 10 grand every month? Every time you do, give 10% to the church, to the bride of Christ. Take care of my bride. So the first month goes by, and a thousand comes in, another 1,000 comes in, 700. Well, that's a big check. That's a big check. Still cursed, but it's a big check. 10 grand comes in the next month. We got a grand there. We got a grand there. You racking up, aren't you, girl? I'll give 500 this month. Money's a little tight.
He's young. He's got a date.
Look, the bride of Christ said that he's young and he has a date. Is that true, Francine? Do not be eating on the Lord's money. Oh, that was a setup. $10,000 comes in. You giving two. You got so much victory, you don't even know how to handle it. You still was faithful. Zipperoonie. Josh said, you're killing me, Pastor. Well, the Word teaches that we're killing ourselves or cursed. God doesn't curse us. We curse ourselves. Oh, gosh. I didn't plan all this. I might even think the Holy Spirit's in charge of this thing. Well, 10 more thousands coming in. Here's your 10. Here's your 10. Here's your. You've been getting 10. God's been faithful to you anyway. Josh, you're the only person I can look down at.
I mean,
dear Lord, I'm sorry, son. I'm just role playing, okay? That's one of my most favorite young dudes right there. I got too serious. Two. Nothing. You know what? I'm going to take the 10 you got. I'm going to give it to a couple of these guys because they know what to do with it. They have a heart to take care of my bride the biblical way so that that bride and that church can provide for what's happening in the church and the harvest field that's outside the church. And so, because you know, I'm cutting you off, dude. I gave you, might even gave you 3 years instead of 3 months. And I'm going to give it to them because I know when I get my blessing to them, I can get it through them. And when I get it through them, a lost and dying world comes into the kingdom and they come into the storehouse and they become strong dads. And not just saved, but good dads and good fathers and good marriages. And our children are raised in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. And we got so much blessing in all these areas. There's not enough joy or testimony to contain it. God's moving in the youth. God's moving in the children. God's moving in my heart. God's moving in your heart. And when He gets it to us and we get it through us, the blessing of God is so heaped up that you can never use it all up because Jesus wants us to take care of His bride. Give the Lord a hand and give these guys a hand. Thank you, guys. I'll let you buy me a steak. Hallelujah. 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 I'm stopping. God the Father was the first tither. The Bible says He gave His Son Jesus Christ as a first fruits. Jesus, His Son. God so loved the world, He gave the first fruits, His Son, His only begotten Son, that whoever would believe would not perish but have everlasting life. Lord, thank You for giving Your first fruits. Can I say this? And I know at times it's quiet and this has been a hard message for some, but God is doing great things here. I didn't share what I shared this morning to discourage you anyway, but it was to teach you and inspire you and hope that God would touch our hearts. Because again, last week, what we did above our tithe is one of the most powerful moments. It's just as powerful. Other than salvation, the greatest miracle, it's as powerful as any other miracle. Hezekiah knew it. Abraham knew it. Isaac knew it. Jesus knew it. And if Jesus says it, it's enough for me. We started this year believing for greater things, and it wasn't a catchphrase. It wasn't a sticker to put on the building. It's something I believe God dropped in my heart. You may see the phrase somewhere else or hear it all the time, but it's a right now word for this church this year, and we are beginning to see greater things happen in our lives. I know some of you are in the furnace, but it's God. God is in the furnace with you. And He's shaping you and molding you and making you into what He wants you to be and wants you to have on this earth. He's faithful. Stay faithful to Him. God is moving. And it's not for the hour and a half or 2 hours. God is moving greater when we're not here than when we are here. Because that's when the rubber is meeting the road and when you have to press into the grace of God and the power of the Spirit. God is beginning to do greater things. Will you continue to believe for greater things? And not one bit of manipulation or I'm not a boss, I'm a shepherd. I don't ever want to attempt to speak or motivate or make you do anything. I just want to teach you the Word of God. And as it pertains to this message, it's so we can reach our city. This ship is turned into the stormy waters of those that are lost. And I believe God is going to bring in a harvest of souls. It's not about the money, but with the money, we won't be about anything. Billy brought us not just a good message and a good speaker. He's a very good communicator. And he didn't say this, I'm saying this. He brought us a prophetic word from the Lord. He said, this church is maybe named the rock, but it will be a rock that ripples and has effects in other places. He said this. And it was a deep spirit word. Jesus knows us. He knows who we are. He knows who we are as individuals and as families. He knows our heart as a church. And I tell, I had a great group of guests this morning. I said, you've come at a good time. We got a great church and you're the church. But the Lord is opening a window of opportunity. And he told us through a total stranger, some of our U.S. missionaries know him, I didn't, just an acquaintance, that he knows us. He sees what we're doing. Number two, and he will build the church. I took it like this, and he will build his church through us. Look, your neighbor said it's you. His eye is upon us, the one who died for us. And he will build a church. And lastly, number three, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. The gates of hell would not prevail against your home. The gates of hell would not prevail against what's going in your life. The gates of hell will not prevail against your witness out there in the community. The gates of hell will not shut this church down. The gates of hell will not keep you from your destiny. The gates of hell will not keep us from winning the lost. The gates of hell will not keep us from loving other people. You want me to keep on? He knows us. He'll build his church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. And all God's people said, amen. Pastor Tim, I love you, I love you, I love you. You gave me so much preaching time, I don't know what to do with it. Let's pray. Worship team, come. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Can you just all over the house, just verbally, if you would, if you're comfortable, even if you're not comfortable, try it sooner or later. There's a freedom, but...